This episode of The Instance is brought to you in part by the Patreon that helps this show exist. Go to patreon.com/frogpants and give a little or give a lot or give whatever and help The Instance and other great shows on the Frog Pants Network subsist and do well. That's patreon.com/frogpants. And by Harry's. For guys like you that want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, lots of WoW players have huge beards. So go to harrys.com right now and get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code WOW, W-O-W, when you check out. That's Harry's, H-A-R-R-Y-S.com, and the checkout code WOW for $5 off.
You could turn into Spider-Man.
Yeah, no powers yet.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 384, and it is Friday, October 3rd, 2014. I'm Scott Johnson, and I'm joined by Terpster. What?
What? What? Oh, my God, what's going on? This is crazy.
I don't think I've seen...
I thought I died.
I know, I did too.
I could have sworn I was dead. That's crazy.
I've talked to Metzen more in the last 3 weeks than I've talked to you. What's up with that? What's going on with that?
Yeah, I know. What is up with that, man? I keep calling you like, sorry, Metzen's on the other line. Honestly, he cannot be on the other line for as many times as I've phoned you. There is something... I think you're avoiding me, Scott.
You're starting to think, yeah, it's not...
Even sure if Chris Metzen is real right now. I'm just thinking maybe you think that.
Well, maybe. But it's really good to have you back on, man. I know you've been swamped. You've been at conferences and all kinds of crazy stuff every week, and the weekends have just been rough. But, man, here you are in the flesh. It's just great. And I feel like we were talking before the show, but I feel like the biggest thing we've missed lately is the lore master of the show, which everyone considers to be you, because you kind of...
But that's so sad, exactly, because I'm really bad.
Yeah, but you have so much excitement for it. You have so much,
I enjoy it. Yeah. I'm very enjoyed by it, but yes.
Yeah, so all this Lords of War stuff comes out, and we haven't hardly had a chance to discuss it. So, very curious, just kind of your take on the whole thing, and whether or not you believe, as I do, that this is a grand thing for Blizzard to now do on the regular. You know?
I think it's phenomenal. What I don't know is how much it cost and how long it took in terms of how regular they could make this sort of content.
Yeah.
The tricky thing is that it's not really something that would make them much money through just, you know, YouTube.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to see if I can get numbers on. So, like, you know,
it does feel like ancillary value, doesn't it? It doesn't seem like
exactly. Murad only got around about 640,000 views on YouTube, which is that's not a tremendous amount of money. Probably like $1,500 or something like that, depending on, you know, if they even were running ads on there, and I don't think they do. So it isn't something they do for money. But if you look at the kind of excitement around, you know, the series, and it gets people kind of G'd up and excited about, you know, Warcraft in general, and, you know, Lords of War coming back. I think obviously it's a fantastic thing to do. It's weird how you see, like, Kilrog has nearly, well, over twice as many views as Durotan. Grommash doesn't have anywhere near as many. Kargath and Kilrog are the two most popular Lords of War, according to the viewers of YouTube. So it's always a strange
one. Isn't that weird? Because both feature dismemberment of some sort. One is an eyeball, one is a hand. What the heck, man?
Yeah, and none of them chopped off their member, which seems weird. that would be a strange warlord, wouldn't it?
Ooh, it is. What would his name be?
I'm not sure, really. I already fear I've offended people more than I... Well, I should.
Yeah.
But I think they're great. I think they're really enjoyable. I think Murad's story was brilliant, and it was one of those ones that
I loved. It
gives this guy so much more depth, and, you know, before he Russian style Drenai.
Well, but plus you don't really know jack about the guy. You've seen him. I mean, well, we saw him in the Burning Crusade, and
exactly. Burning Crusade cinematic was about it.
Yeah, he was there was some quest stuff in that starting zone, some other things, but for the most part, I felt like I had no idea who that guy was. He was interesting looking. I knew he was a paladin. I knew all that, but I didn't know much else. This thing has made me a Maraud fan to the dying breath. No spoilers, but I'm there with him all the way through, man.
Yeah, I think it's
he's great.
I think it's pretty freaking awesome. You got to know him a little bit in the World of Warcraft comics, mm-hmm. and it's weird because he has sort of relationship to Garona and the whole characters within there.
Yeah.
So yeah, Maraud's just a really cool character, and I think it's interesting to see Blizzard play with these what are essence kind of second tier characters because they haven't previously been in the RTS. Maraud never existed, and yet he's got one of the best stories out of the Lords of War. Kilrog and Grommash and Durotan and stuff like that, they have existed before, but not really in the kind of playing memories of the World of Warcraft.
Well, and we're getting I know some people have had some issues with Kargath rewritten a little bit. I don't really have a problem with it. I think it's great. But like Durotan, this is a story that they've never told before in terms of his flashback to his childhood and his mother and all that.
Yeah.
But it's a great, this is like it's Maraud. Cool, it's a great way to do it.
Yeah. It makes bloodlust something that is innate within the orcs and not due to demon blood.
Yeah.
And almost it kind of makes the demon blood clearer in it being that it amplifies everything about you.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like Captain America super serum.
Right.
You take it and whatever you are just is greater. So if you're an evil person, you become even more evil. Mm. And it probably makes everyone evil, being demons anyway.
Yeah.
But it's that's why, for example, Gul'dan drinks of the demon blood and isn't some hulking behemoth, kind of trying to punch out Grommash, during that cinematic.
Yeah.
But he is the most powerful warlock that they have that later in the game we see, in the opening sequence, they're using him to power the dark portal. So he's a being of immense power. Mm. So I think it starts to lend some sort of greater understanding to all of those different things.
Yeah.
And I think Lords of War was fantastic. It elaborated on everything that the burdens of the Emperor, the last one. I forget what his name is.
Xiao Hao, was it?
Xiao Hao, yeah, that was him. Yeah.
Hey, everybody, look at me remembering it in Terpster or not. I just want to point out this moment in the show's history where I remember the name and you didn't.
But what I like about it is that Xiao Hao was felt quite removed, and it kind of should have because, it's being told by Lore Master Cho and like a book, like a scroll or something like that.
Yeah.
Whereas this was so much better because you had Maraud narrating what was going on with fantastic visuals, but those brilliant in-game cinematics at the beginning really place it, and it makes it feel like a Warcraft story and not like a Warcraft comic. It felt for me like something that happens in the game.
It bookended it nicely, and it looked really good, and they clearly tapped into some pretty sweet tools for manipulating in-game stuff, and we saw that with the Siege of Orgrimmar opening bits, and certainly some more of that stuff, even the ending bits of that. This is just more of that and even better of that, and I feel like they're finding, and they allude to this a little bit without so much as admitting it, but they allude to it in the How It Was Made video they just put up. With this Lords of War behind the scenes kind of stuff. And it's mostly like Mickey and Chris and a few others talking about their process and whatever. They seem to feel like they're going to get more traction and more people seeing this than they can expect if they sell another book. And they'll keep making books and comics and stuff like that. But you can't guarantee the kind of audience you're going to get for your storytelling with those mediums
I think my biggest complaint around this sort of stuff historically has been for the majority of players, they logged in on, say the Cataclysm, and Bane Bloodhoof was the was the leader of the Taurens.
Yeah.
And Cairn had died.
Right.
And that wasn't shown or given the time that it needed in game.
No.
You know, I didn't see a Mokra Thar or whatever it's called, you know, where they have their fight mm-hmm. between, you know, Garrosh and Cairn. Mm. You know, I'd have loved to see that. And then, like, maybe the Grim Toten tribe taking over Thunderbluff and then it getting recaptured by Bane and Anduin and all of these other characters. And it's all of these fantastic story points that you get from reading the books and watching the, you know, these sorts of series that historically haven't really been in the game. Mm. Now, I was really excited because I was playing the beta the past week and I was doing some quests in Agrand for which basically it was part of the Legendary Ring Crest.
Yeah.
And I had to meet up with Chromie, everyone's favorite bronze dragon.
Yeah.
And go through and see these kind of echoes of time and trace back what happened when Garrosh first got to this Draenor and what happened there. And if you've read the short story they put out on the website,
yeah.
you'll know exactly what happened.
Yeah.
But the brilliant thing was, is that same event you see kind of retold in game.
That's
and
great.
Then on top of that, then you get a cool boss battle, you know, flying through time. And it's great. It uses fun mechanics like you can't die because Chromie just rewinds time to back when you started the encounter.
That's how he does, yeah.
Exactly. And it's like I said, it's really fun. They make a really fun quest and gameplay experience, but at the same time, share that same story with everyone else.
Mm.
Because I think it is a really important story for people to understand the sort of limitations and the confines of our time travel,
mm.
because if they're not clearly defined, people interpret plot holes and they're like, well, hang on, why are we doing this when we could have just, you know, traveled through time to there? Or why didn't they travel to time there? And, you know, time travel kills every great story ever, unless you really drill down on what is and isn't possible around that.
Mm.
And this story did that. And it equally introduced a lot of other things. So it's great to see some of those things in the game as well. And I think everyone listening obviously loves playing the game, and a portion of the people listening really love reading and experiencing stuff around the game. And I love that Blizzard caters for everyone. Mm. And I think it's just making sure that they do keep these things showing up in the actual game where possible.
In that sequence,
for example, I would be very happy mm-hmm. to have a quest that I complete with Murad, and then he tells me and shows me Lord of War in game.
Oh, right.
You know, I would be okay with that.
Sure.
You know, when you see how good their in-game cinematics are, obviously for the other big sort of quest completion moments, like zone completes, and it does hark back to those Warcraft 3 cinematics that you forget really how amazing and strong and crucial a part of the experience they were back then. You know, and it was like, oh yeah, I get a new cinematic now.
I've never been more convinced that Blizzard is doubling down on a core value that they've had for 20 years, which is story above all else. Whether you like the story or not, they want to tell it and they want to make it forefront in everything you do. So they're just all into that now. Like, that's more than ever. And that interview with Chris totally sort of cemented that for me again, which is, I really feel like in all of their properties, they feel like it is so crucial to have this thread running constantly just above the surface of all the gameplay, of all the systems, of all the zones, of all the graphics, of all the everything else, the game. It's just so important that it's held together by this tightly wound narrative. And Lords of War just leads to that. Other stuff they do on the side with comics, books, and else, you know, otherwise all leads to that. Their cinematic intros lead to that. It's serving that beast.
It's so powerful. It's such a powerful tool. And I mean, we've both been playing loads of Shadow of Mordor this past week.
So good.
And I think that's an example where they fortunately haven't had to do it themselves.
Mm.
But because of the books and because of the films and because of everything that's come before in the Lord of the Rings world and universe of Middle Earth, this game feels so massive and so thought out and integral, and the way it weaves between The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings in terms of story, and you see, you know, how this affects that and that affects this and who this guy is. Oh, I've never seen this before. I've heard about this sort of thing, but never seen it.
Yeah.
I think all of those sorts of things are just fantastic.
Artifacts are great because I love finding those and then getting this little piece of story that is nobody who's just seen the films will have any idea what that mortar and pestles from or what these little references are from. But if you are a student of those books, it's like, oh, dude, did they just do what I think they did with this reference? Mm. You know, that kind of stuff is pretty special. And it's nice to see. I mean, obviously, Blizzard has a lot invested in doing that themselves with their own games. But I always love seeing it when a game is willing to go just that little extra step.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it would be like with archaeology.
Yeah.
You know, Blizzard gives you a little kind of page with a little fact on there, mm-hmm. or a little story. But I'd love to see, you know, them get their voice actors in and have, you know, some nice, cool audio file as well that, you know, gave us something a bit more. You know, when you see how it's done in Middle Earth, I think that it could be really, really good. In World of Warcraft, in something like archaeology.
Well, friend of the program and good friend, Liam O'Brien, voice actor in the video game world. If you've played a video game, there's a very strong chance in the last 5 years he has been in the game you're playing. He was Illidan and has been Illidan since Burning Crusade.
You are not prepared.
That's the one. He does all kinds of amazing stuff. When we had our Mists of Pandaria intro for he did that.
He's the Silverhand recruit in Hearthstone.
He is.
So every time, you know, like, you know, what was it? Deals or no? What does he say?
Just a whole bunch of cards that are terrible and constructed, huh? That's what he does.
I love this like stealth Deals moment. That was amazing.
My voice is actually, it's so hard to speak right now.
Is it really? You shoutcasting last night or what happened?
We had the Giants played on Wednesday.
Right.
And they're playing again today, but on Wednesday it was the one game winner go home, and we won. And I yelled a lot.
I bet your excitement has been palpable on Twitter, so I cannot imagine that your voice is in great shape after this.
I yelled a lot. Then I was told to get hit by a bus by a Pittsburgh Pirates fan.
Oh, great!
It was great. I've had a lot of great troll encounters. Including one with you recently, Scott.
We're just troll the hell out of each other.
So enjoyable.
Yeah,
so
not
enjoyable.
Between. But I should make that clear. Not between Dills and I, but with
no. We didn't troll each other. Oh, we got trolled collectively.
Yeah, and that guy was living in a shell.
We're rampant fanboys.
Totally. But I was what I was saying about Liam. He is he's the voice of Gollum in that Mordor game.
Oh, is he?
Oh, is he really? Oh, wow.
He is so really crazy well. Good.
Okay, so you guys love that game.
Love
but
that
But there's
game.
Only one thing to that game, right? Kill orcs. Kill the orcs.
He's sort of. I mean, there's
kill the other orc and then move up
lot,
and kill this orc.
There's a lot more to do than just that, okay. Obviously, but it is a huge part of it.
The whole purpose is to kill the big orc.
Yes. I mean, the goal of the game, that nemesis system thing, whatever.
See, I really like that because I can wrap my head around that. Right. Okay. I'm here to kill orcs. Got it. Let's go.
It's all the open world stuff is there. There's a lot of exploring and story and there's other stuff, but that system is genius. It's really, really neat. Yeah.
I picked it up. I haven't started it yet, so
it's really cool.
Looking forward to
it. Totally worth playing. Don't get the old console versions when they come out in a couple months, everybody, because they do not feature that system at all.
I'm going PC all the way on this one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Anyway, Shadows of Mordor. It's a hell of a game, and it does. You know, it's funny. I always think, am I done with fantasy stuff for a while? Am I on my downturn on fantasy? I need a little sci-fi in my life or whatever. And then games like this and what they're doing with Warlords, and they just rekindle it all, and I can't wait for more of this stuff. I think I'll never quite tire of the genre. And I like me some sci-fi, don't get me wrong.
So good, exactly.
You can't. How about more StarCraft? That'd be lovely. All right, let's let's dive into, we do actually have news today. Let's do some of that. Here you go.
Big news. Of the week.
Big news of the week this week brought to you by DoghouseSystems.com. They still have this sale going on their 17-inch notebooks, and they are basically clearing them out at an incredibly low price. And for some reason, I can't get the link to load, and I don't know why, because that would be really convenient if it did. Thanks, Google Docs. You're the best. Go to DoghouseSystems.com right now and check out these Mobius line of 17-inch books. Save a bunch of money. And get a rad portable gaming rig while you're at it.
I use a Mobius. It's fantastic.
You do? Yeah, I forgot you had one.
Personal recommendation. Love it to pieces.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
It's a beast.
Yeah, it is. Oh, here it goes.
Plays anything.
I found it finally. Here you go. This is some of the details on this thing. It's the TL special. You get the full 17-inch HD display, Core i7 chip in there, of course, NVIDIA GeForce 670 MX graphics, and much more. They have limited stocks. So you need to hurry. $1,795 is all they're charging for this thing. For a 17-inch gaming notebook, that's insane. Go get your powerful laptop now at doghousesystems.com.
Boom.
All right. We talked about Titan last week, but I just wanted to get Terpster. You didn't get a chance to kind of swing a bat at that.
Never heard from Terpster about
that. What's your head on that thing?
That's big news, man.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It was kind of writing on the wall, wasn't it, when they kind of realigned the teams, or kind of put the A-team back on WoW.
Yeah. When they stopped talking about it, moved people off of it. It started to seem like it wasn't happening.
Yeah, it was interesting. All the stuff that came out afterwards was sort of everything we already sort of knew. And it was interesting to see how true that was. So I think that, I think it would have been a cool game. It would have been hard to sort of balance just in terms of the whole civilian.
Yeah, if that stuff is real, if that's all real and we can count on that info and it seems pretty legit, all of that seemed really hard as a proposition to balance into a game's future, 10 years down the road. That just seems like a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, equally on top of that, I think it would, it would be interesting, to see where that sits in a world with games like Destiny, going for that sort of MMO middle space. Mm. And whether or not a big MMO like Warcraft can exist again with Warcraft still existing. So I think it's the right move. I think, they need to bring, all the talent they have back into WoW. And it's great to see that, because if they don't, then, that's when we end up with a worse game. So, really, really pleased to see that they're all back on WoW, and it's sad to see a project go. Mm. I always think it must be the worst thing about working at Blizzard. The fact that you can work and put your heart and soul into something for near enough a decade and it can get cancelled. Mm. That I think and then still to have to go in the next day and still be expected to give 110% on everything, even though it might just get put in a bin at the end of the day. I think it's a really tough thing to do, but it's one of the trade-offs, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know.
But you get that sword though, right? If you work there for
right.
I guess so. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sword so that's cool. 5, shield for 10. Yeah. Exactly. So
what's the 20? What's the 20?
Your heart and soul thrown in the gutter, but I got a sword, and that's cool.
Yeah, I always think Blizzard are a bit crazy with that, because every now and then when they do have a mass firing like they did a while ago, all of those people have swords. Like of all the people to piss off,
they could all just decide, hey guys, we have swords. We're not
exactly
leaving.
Let's hope like the 30-year one isn't guns or something like that. As long as they didn't do ammo until 35, and then you hope they're probably too old then.
What's the 20? Is it a
20 was a crown.
Crown, that's it.
So they had
to. Yeah, so that's not dangerous. Okay. No.
But I don't think of the crown, they only made one and it's in the museum. And I don't know, it'd be worth asking Metzer next time you chat to him instead of me, Scott, if he's got his yet. Because my understanding was that no one has.
Yeah. Well, if you're there 20 years, I mean, at some point, these are incentives.
What's another couple of years to wait?
That's how I'd
say it. They're not incentives. They're rewards. They're also just a sort of... the problem is as well, is as any company, as it grows larger... there does come a day, and no disrespect to the guys in customer services, but they're not as mission critical and their wages aren't as high.
Sure.
And if you've got a guy who, for all intents and purposes, is in a customer support role for 20 years, do you spend, $10,000, $5,000, whatever it is, making a crown for him? At what point do they want that? Does everyone want a crown, or would people rather have $5,000? I don't know. It's always a tricky thing.
Wonder if Blizzard has like a scrappy young guy named Jimmy in the mailroom is gonna claw his way to the top.
I hope so. I hope they've got a janitor who doesn't even like games.
There's a scrappy young buck named Randy who's clawing his way to the top as we speak,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, well, yeah.
How long's Randy been there? What's he been?
Since 2010.
He's closing in on
the sword. 2 years, you get a stein, so he'll have a flagon,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And then 5 years you get a sword, and each year the sword is different, I believe.
Yeah.
It may even be that each employee the sword is different, but I don't believe the swords are kind of made specifically for people. I think they're just
it's just the thing they're doing.
Chinese market.
I know a bunch of the swords. Team 5 guys all got swords recently. Like I saw some of those guys posting about it.
Oh yeah, there was a photo of them all holding them up.
Those guys, they've been working on Hearthstone for a long time. We just didn't know. But,
yeah, they've been out.
A lot of those guys are now sword worthy.
Yeah, and in some cases, I mean, Brode's been there for longer than that.
He's been around for a while.
Yeah, he's been doing Voice of God business over there. I don't know. I'd be curious to what you even do for a guy like Metzen at this point. Do you just
What do you give Metzen?
Just give him everything because you don't ever want him to
leave. Exactly. I don't know. That's the crazy thing is you think about, Metzen's, senior vice president at Blizzard. He's a higher up guy that is very integral to everything.
Doesn't get much higher, yeah.
But at the same time, you look at some of the other high profile guys like Rob Pardo, we've seen people go. And, I don't think...
True, I keep forgetting Rob Pardo left. I keep forgetting that
exactly.
happened.
Exactly. I don't think many people are kept there by the enticement of a crown, especially if you never actually get it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to see, I think...
But, okay, so you said, Terpster, would you rather have, like, $10,000? Don't you think you could sell a 20-year crown on eBay for much more than that?
Oh, I'll bet you could get 30 or 40K out of that thing, yeah.
Quite a bit, right?
I don't know. Yeah, it depends how wealthy the sort of Blizzard fans are out there, isn't it? Is who's gonna buy
I think
it.
They're pretty into these
there are,
games.
There are some, there are some wealthy ones out there.
Yeah.
If you consider, Collector's Edition is, first one is $4,000.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think a sword is probably... I think the swords only go for about $1,000 just because they're not too... And equally, they've got a plaque on them with someone else's name on.
Yeah.
Don't know how many people would want them.
It's like real gear. It's all about rarity here. So,
maybe. Yeah, exactly. Maybe people will pay more for RL legendaries. Yeah.
Here's the question. If they made a Tyrael bust and that went out there and there was only one ever made, I guarantee you, like Zimmerman, aka Deadmau5, would pay through the roof for that because he's a giant Diablo fan. He'd totally buy that. Like, in other words, there's a market for this weird shit.
Sure.
Possibly.
Someone like Kurt Schilling might spend,
he totally, he would have, but maybe not now, but he would have in the past. Sure. Yeah.
By the way, he was tweeting a lot about how the Giants were going to crush the Pirates. So
I did see that.
So yeah,
you've got a common fan.
Yeah,
you two would not get along politically, but hot damn, when it comes to baseball picks,
we are now best friends. Yes,
that's awesome.
I was really enjoying that. They kept talking about it on TV too. I was like, yeah, that's right. Yeah. He follows me.
Hey guys, let me bump in here real quick and talk about our friends over at Harrys.com. I'm telling you, when I go to BlizzCon or I hang out with listeners of the show, you guys have some luxurious beards going on. Of this, there is no doubt. Some of the most epic beards I've ever seen have come from you guys. But you got to shave that occasionally. You got to get that thing off of there, whether it be mustache only or the full beard or a dumb goatee, whatever it might be. Well, then have I got a deal for you? Are you sick of paying for exorbitant fees to get razors? I have been. That's why I go to Harrys.com, Harrys.com. And let them help me because I need it. I mean, shaving with a dull blade isn't fun. And sometimes we do that forever because the blade we bought for that Gillette nightmare shaver thing we got is running super thin. We've had it way too long. And they're expensive, about $4 a blade on average out there for your Gillette Fusions, for example. Why go to the store and buy that stuff and deal with all that locked up plexiglass cabinet stuff? What a pain. Here's a company that fixes all that for us at Harrys.com. High-quality razors, about half the price of those big brand blades. And they make their own blades, and they ship it for free to your front door. Because they make their own, they're a much more efficient company, which means they can give us factory direct pricing. Harrys guarantees everything they make as well. Your satisfaction guaranteed. I liked the Winston set, which is what I picked up. That kit was sent straight to my door. You can learn more about that at the product section of harrys.com, which one I got. Check out all the cool stuff that came in the kit. Razor handle with a great look and feel. 3 razor blades. Foaming shave gel. It's really nice. Also, that starter Truman set. Truly amazing deal. You can get that for just $15. I've been using Harry's for a while now. Give them a shot. They'll give you a clean, close, comfortable shave every time. And it's real simple to save a little money, too, because you're listening to this show. Go to harrys.com and get $5 off your first purchase with coupon code WOW. That's W-O-W at harrys.com. Big thanks to Harry's for being here and supporting us on the show this week. There's a Twitter guy on the Instance Twitter feed today that was sure that you would be that you would find places to bring up the Giants.
Oh, no, that's not my last one, by the way.
I know. I think it's great. I think you should
totally
do it. I'm
looking forward to several more.
The Battle.net launcher got updated, and this is weird because what got shown in the update is an icon for Warcraft 3 and its own background, just like all the other icons for all the other games installed, which probably isn't that surprising because they did indicate some months ago that they were hiring people to bring old Blizzard titles up to par with current operating systems and have them run well. It is interesting to see that Warcraft 3 is one of them and that you can actually go and enter your key now. So if you own the game, you can show that ownership so that when this all works, you could, in theory, get that client downloaded and start playing Warcraft 3 again.
Cool.
I would be more interested in this if they came out and said, hey, doing a complete graphical overhaul, because I don't know if you've seen Warcraft 3 lately, but woo, looks like early polygonal aughts to me.
It's bizarre, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, I don't think there's enough.
Do things in the game is very weird. Yeah. If you haven't played that game in a long time, then you play it now.
It's a little weird.
It's like, this doesn't seem like the game I want to do right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just putting a bunch of stuff right next to each other, and then I'm running through the middle of it and trying to get away. It's
what I believe that comes down to, and this is just a theory, but the transition to 3D at that period of gaming, it was kind of a hard one because people were just sort of getting used to it. This was Blizzard's first game based in a 3D environment / engine. They had never done it before. So, you know, previous to that, there was a lot of complaining actually back in the Diablo 2 days that they weren't on board with moving to a polygonal engine and they were sticking with this 2D sprite system. And I would argue that they put off this because they felt like I did that some of that was an awkward transition. It's like most of the PlayStation 1 library is very difficult to look at and play with because we just didn't know what the hell we were doing yet. And that stuff's gotten a jillion times better and everybody's better at it and everything else. But I think Warcraft 3 was right on the edge of that where it's good enough, but it's not quite where we're going to be in a couple of years. And I just don't know that it looks all that great. It feels a little funny. And I've always had a problem with this, and I may be in the minority here, and I know that it spawned great Dota freaking, you know, MOBA games and everything else. But the whole level up your hero thing, I never liked that in an RTS. I just hated it. And I know it was integral to the story and all that other stuff, and the story I loved, and I loved the campaign. But the multiplayer in that game I hated because I had to go out and level a dude up while I'm trying to also build a base and do everything else. And I just, that was not a big deal for me. Didn't enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not even that excited about this other than.
No, but just every now and then it'll be fun to just.
Sure.
Nostalgia, Scott. Nostalgia. Yeah,
I guess so.
Oh,
I did.
That's a powerful.
Do we all have a lot of nostalgia tool for 2003?
Let's go watch Grom actually die this time.
I guess that's, so.
Yeah, we get to do that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Cool. Now, see, some of that would be neat if they took an opportunity here to say, all right, we're going to put some developer commentary into the scene where Grimash takes it in the butt. Or it sounds wrong.
It's kind of the face, guys. It's not really the butt.
I guess it's its face. Yeah. But, you know, we're going to explain more about, okay, and then this changed in Draenor. Like, they have some opportunities to do some historical stuff into the nostalgia play that is bringing it back. But honestly, I would be more down with playing, like, Warcraft 2 Battle.net Edition or whatever the hell they called it. I would play that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see.
A StarCraft 1 is to me a more accessible game than Warcraft 3 was. I don't know. Either way, whatever. It's great. They're bringing this stuff back. You can now download for free and play Rock and Roll Racing and
yeah, you can play Lost Vikings.
Lost Vikings, that's it. Yeah.
What about
Super
Mega?
Yeah, they can play Blackthorn. Yeah, you've got it all there.
Dills always wants to know about that Superman game.
Yeah, what's up with that Superman game?
What's up, man?
If you had, what was it, N64?
Yeah.
I forget what platform it was. Or was it SNES?
Yeah, I think it was
N64. N64. No. Yeah.
Yeah, was it?
If you had one, then maybe.
Yeah, you can still play it.
No, that was N64 because Blackthorn was SNES. That's right.
Yeah.
I thought Blackthorn was great. I thought that Superman game was one of the worst things I'd ever played.
No, that's pretty bad. Yeah. I mean, I always talk about it, but I don't care.
It was probably I'll bet it was a seminal moment for them. I bet that was when Blizzard said, "Guys, we're never doing that again."
Yeah. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. We're never going to be
made a sword for Ted over here.
Yeah.
Why did we do that?
We're never going to push something out because we're late on a deadline or that we have to do it. We're changing the way.
It's SNES. It was the SNES one.
Was it?
Sure. Yeah. I'm just trying to find it now. It's the Death and Return of Superman. It was, wasn't it? I think.
Was that one as bad as I think it is, or am I thinking of that N64 piece of garbage?
Oh, yeah, Death and Return of Superman Blizzard. Yeah, it was a side-scroller beat-em-up-y thing.
Yeah.
Was it any good?
But yeah, it was published by Sunsoft. No, it's terrible. Batman kicked, and that's what we always say. I mean, I say terrible. Yeah, it was okay. It was like Streets of Rage, but with Superman.
It's back when those still mattered, those
It's just like, I don't know. I think Blizzard, obviously, again, we're working with someone else's property. Mm. But it's important for these sort of, you know, jobs you do for pay versus jobs you do for love. And equally, you know, if you think about the team size and the time in which it's done. Yeah, I mean, it's...
Different era.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything pre-WoW is a very different era, period. Like, all that time is... Even the Diablo 2 days, the StarCraft days, those were good days for them, and they were doing great, but... That is not the same as a post-WoW Blizzard.
Oh, exactly. I mean, even StarCraft Ghost, you know, was around.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was kind of a crossover period there where they were... That game's development cycle was like right in the middle of WoW's launch. I want to say it was right in the center.
Yeah, growth. And exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you miss out a little bit, I think, when you're Ghost versus WoW. But still.
Yeah.
So check out Death and Return of Superman. I think you can find some SNES videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
In fact, I just found one, a full video walkthrough. so you can watch from beginning to end. It's an hour and 15 minutes worth that you will never get back.
That's the entire game in an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Good lord.
The thing is, it's Death and Return of Superman. So it's kind of got all the different Supermans. You've got like the Robo Superman. You've got the weird Superman.
Steel and the blue one.
Exactly. Yeah. I was watching as well on that kickstarted documentaries kind of nearing the end of its funding and stuff.
Mm.
And so they're making a documentary about the Tim Burton Superman film that was never made.
Yeah. I've heard amazing things about this.
Yeah, someone's trying to get the money to finish it right now.
Exactly. Yeah. And so they've got like costume footage tests showing Nick Cage in the costume.
Yeah.
They interview Tim Burton, Kevin
Smith. Huge package on Nick Cage, by the way. Yeah. Huge. Yeah. I think was really the thing. They couldn't. They realized we can't make this.
You think it's the thing that sunk the ship? That's it. Okay.
Yeah. No, everything was fine, and then they were like, "We can't do this. This is indecent."
Nicolas Cage.
It's interesting because apparently, like the story in it, like Superman dies, gets put into like a robot body, like heals up and comes back and kicks ass, and it was going to have Brainiac in it.
Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
Brainiac. Oh my gosh. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please.
By the way,
that.
I was trying to kill Brainiac the other day. I was playing, what was the MMO?
Oh, DC Online?
Yeah. I was a little bit of that the other day.
That game's all right.
It actually was really fun.
Yeah.
I
have a good time.
And I really enjoyed myself.
I do not hate that game. I've always
I did not want to log in again after I left. But,
sure. You know. And you may down the road, you get a little nostalgic or something.
But
yeah.
But I watched the whole intro again. The intro was great.
Yeah. That's good.
I like when Lex Luthor kills Superman. He yells, "Lex Luthor!" That's still my favorite thing.
As Blur Studios does that great intro, don't they? It's really good.
Oh, that is really good. I really love those. Yeah.
But that game's a great free MMO. As free to play MMOs go, it's up there for me.
There's still a lot of people in there.
Yeah.
Too.
It does all right. It's found its niche and makes money, and that's all that matters, I guess. Jay Wilson, previous lead designer on D3, that Diablo 3 there that I love so much, before the big change, before the big switch up and, you know, kill the auction house and refocus and all that, is now on the WoW team. to list it as a designer rather than just being on the strike team, which he was listed as for Miss Pandaria. I don't know if that means he's up there to the level that he'll be up on stage.
I think this is either smoke and mirrors or just literally because they've got Greg on there as well. I think it's literally people who contributed towards the design of this expansion, but are not. I think everyone's thinking that he's now on team two, and I don't. The additional designers have Rob Pardo, Greg Street, and Jay Wilson on there.
Yeah.
So I think it's like guys who worked on this but aren't on this team anymore. So I think all it was is that Jay Wilson worked on Warcraft. But I'm still putting my money on Jay's on Overwatch. I reckon he must be there or on one of the other smaller teams.
Yeah.
Since Team 5 did so well,
yeah.
Blizzard's trying to make smaller games, I think. They're trying to see if they can make more Hearthstones because they really work out really well.
Yeah.
They do horrendously well. So I don't think you put someone like Joe Wilson, who has a massive, massive design heritage. You don't have him as just a dude.
Yeah.
For all of his kind of errs that people blame him for on D3, I don't think you can dispute the guy is insanely good at what he does.
Sure.
Equally, I mean, Blizzard always goes ahead and says about how, you know, all their products are iterative and every voice matters and everyone's feeding in. And really, I think that the lead designers are just trying to steer the direction along with, you know, everyone else.
Yeah.
I don't think Jay's there saying like, guys, don't put in, you know, more loot drops. Don't have these Nephilim rifts. No one will want a rift.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that
we need auction, that, more auction house, more auction
exactly,
house.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I think it's just like everyone thought that's the way we should go. But anyway, so I think G.L. Wilson, very, 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 very talented man. But I don't think that he is working on WoW as like MMO says. I think he contributed towards it. As he's done before, as strike teams and stuff like that.
Well, his new their revised mission statement says every voice counts except for Jimmy in the mailroom. So they've changed that up a little bit.
Well, they had to, didn't they? Because Jimmy kept asking, "When's he going to get a crown?"
And when's he going to get my crown? Yeah, I've been here.
Jimmy, you pay your dues, buddy.
The mail never stops.
Yeah, you don't actually work for Blizzard.
His mission for the His mission statement is the mail never stops. I like that.
Yeah. He's just down there. He's smoking the cigarettes. Yeah. He's got like the little, the cap on. But And he's just smoking away. Mail never stops. Sorting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Losing his mind.
Good times.
Every letter matters.
For those that care, the Brawlers Guild changes are kind of sweeping. But there's
Scott, lots of people care.
Well, okay? I
like the Brawlers Guild. Yeah. It was fun.
Are you
it
doing like it all the time? Personal... Are you involved?
No, you do it and then you're done. Yeah, exactly. I'm done with it. So now I'll have more to do.
All right.
Exactly. Fine. This is good. This is good because it brings back some old favorites. It reinvents the Brawlers Guild. I don't know quite. Do you know where it takes place now?
In physically, 6.0? No, I don't know. But you got to assume it's in Draenor, right? I mean, they're not.
That's
gonna,
the thing. Yeah. So, I mean,
I think you just put it in your garrison or something.
That
you
would be
have
cool.
A little entrance to it in your garrison. That could be
yeah.
pretty
cool. Yeah, just instance
like
in.
A brawler's hatch.
Like all the places you need to go should all be in your garrison. Just here, my farm is in there. Everything I possibly could need.
Well, if it's a horde one, it'll have lots of spikes and metal sheets and shit like that.
Yeah.
According to Terpster, which is all anyone has on the horde side.
Yeah, it's crap.
Yeah. Here are the changes. So achievements prior to 6.02 for season one, in other words, will become legacy achievements. We kind of expected that. And there'll be new achievements for season two. It's interesting. Everything's seasons with Blizzard these days. Rewards earned based on progression will remain available for purchase. The ring reward will be updated in patch 6.02, and that will have valuable stats for all specializations, says Blizzard. The next patch will introduce boss encounters that will be adjusted for level 100 members. Progression has been reverted back to 8 tiers, and that's one of the things people are freaking out about, and I don't understand why, but I don't follow the Brawler stuff very much, so I don't understand.
Brawlers is currently, was it 12 or 15?
12,
forget.
More than that? Yeah, maybe that's why.
It actually takes quite a while.
It's a big thing. So maybe they're just thinking, look, you know, from our numbers, we saw most people dropped out after 6.
Yeah,
you know,
that's probably right. It's like right now, I dropped out. I didn't get to the end because at a certain point, I just didn't feel like the reward was worth how difficult it was.
It gets really, really hard.
Yeah.
But
I mean, Blizzard does
have an easier time than others, and
sure. But them killing extra tiers, that's like them saying, "Hey, 40-man raids didn't quite do what we wanted, so they're now 25."
Yeah,
I could totally see that.
Yeah, they could still make tier 8 as hard as the final tier currently. Yeah. But they just pace out a bit differently.
Says here, bosses that are being removed from previous tiers will be added to the challenge card vendor and become available as you progress. And all tiers have had their boss lineups remixed. For example,
I want to hear what Scott thinks challenge cards are.
I have no freaking idea. I remember
pretty much as they sound.
Yeah,
You buy it, and then you fight a boss that you couldn't fight.
Challenge that boss.
So it's like a ticket to fight the boss, basically.
Yeah, kind of.
A specific boss, yeah.
Yeah.
Boss and that's the only way to fight that boss.
All right. Okay. Well, Brawler's Guild.
Do you have Brawler's Guild, Scott?
You must have been sent an invitation.
Somebody gave you one.
Sent everything, don't you?
Yeah, I got that, and I don't know. It just didn't appeal to me. Like, it just sounded like another grindy thing, and I didn't want to.
It's not, though. It's very ungrindy, because you're fighting a boss. Like,
so you can get a gnoll named Meatball in the new one, who will join your garrison team.
Ooh.
Oh.
It's epic quality.
Does he take a gnoll.
No, that's kobold.
He's like Hogger only.
Oh, one of them.
Cool.
Great.
Yeah.
I love those guys. No, I don't. I sound like I have something against. I have nothing against this. It just didn't appeal to me.
No, I think it's weird because it is a social game and it's something that you do by yourself.
Yeah, that's
but I very much enjoy inviting your friends along to watch you fail, especially if they're in the same sort of, you know, vent chat as you, because just being goaded by oh you missed it, oh you meant to avoid that, you stood right there, you're dead. You know, having that just honestly makes it all the better when you actually finally do beat stuff. But yeah, it's single player stuff.
The only interaction you really get is someone throws a banana at you, basically, and that and it sucks. Well, and then you come back to life, and then you sit and watch other people fail, and then you go in and then you fail and they watch you. And it is kind of a weird thing in the game, but it's fun.
Then hilarity ensues every time.
Yeah.
Well, all right then.
Give it a shot, Scott, at some point. All you got to try.
All right. Season 2, man. I'm ready. Let's do this.
Cool.
Let's make it happen.
You're all over that.
I'm so excited for this expansion. I'll do anything at this point.
All right.
All right. Phone calls and emails.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
My goodness, it's time for Town Crier. That means your emails and calls, and they come to us at 206-202-3969. That's our phone number, and you can use that often. Also, theinstance@gmail.com is the email address. Emails and attachments are welcome. Keep them short and interesting. They will likely get played on the show. We have a call here about mass transfers.
Hey, Scott, Dove, and Terpster. This is Blex and Mage. I had an idea I wanted to throw by you guys. So me and my buddies are all really excited about this new expansion that's coming out. The one problem is we all stopped playing WoW at different times, and some of us have left the servers that we all started on and left the factions we started on to play with other friends. What if there was a way for Blizzard to let us move a mass amount of characters at once so we can all play together again? Because right now it'll cost us a lot of money to move our mains and our alts over and faction change them. If they could facilitate that in any way, it'd be great. I'll just hear your guys' thoughts. I love the show. Keep it up. Thanks.
So it is expensive. It's a weird proposition. But also, aren't the boosts a possibility here where you could just all boost in the same place?
Well, you could. That's what their answer
would be.
And I don't think that's the same thing, really. It doesn't feel, even if you make it look like your character, it's not your character.
Yeah, you created characters. You want to play them. You know.
I think this is a real issue that Blizzard faces because it is prohibitively expensive to do this. It is a horrid amount of money if you and, you know, 10 other friends, for example, like your old guild, want to get back together and maybe want two characters each on the realm. It's crazy. Mm. It's really bad.
It's a big challenge for Blizzard, though, because I can't even imagine how you would
it's all automated nowadays. It's all systems and, you know, there's
how
very
do you determine
little
that
human
this
interaction.
Is, how do you determine, hey, this is 10 people who all used to play together. They're going to
be not even that.
Once.
It's just, I think if you make character transfers cheaper. I think that would be.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a good that's a good way to do it. I didn't think about it that way. Yeah,
you could do that, or you could also offer some sort of a bulk rate or something like that, and that would be
So yeah, maybe like you have a discount code, or like, you know, you buy, you know, 20 transfers, and
okay, so they're 25 bucks a pop.
20 times.
Mm. Yeah, they're 25 bucks a pop. Let's say I want to buy 10 of them. It's only 200. So,
oh, I see what you're saying.
Spending
yeah.
250 to do it, I spend 200, and we all chip in or whatever. And then I just have 10 of them, and I can do them.
Yeah, it'd be cool if they could do like, hey, for $99.99. For
$9.99, you can get the WWE Network. That'd be great.
For the first two months,
I think that what they need to do is, you know, is actually tackle this problem, because they are doing all of the other things to make getting back into the game really easy. Mm. And this, to me, would be like a they would just miss a spot if they didn't also handle this one. You know,
yeah,
like another thing that makes it easier. And now we get back to 12 million players.
Sure,
do it, Blizzard.
It's a scary proposition, right? Like. It's hard to get back in and feel like you can do it quickly, understandably, cheaply. Like, all those things are factors. And, it's a tough piece of business. Here's another call about...
It just comes down to where you want to draw the line in terms of, I want to start making some more money.
Yeah.
I think that's the bigger issue.
What if they did this for free for the first 6 months or something?
Well, exactly. That's the thing. If they don't nickel and dime, they would make more money in the long term. I don't think that they're going to make money up front. I don't think people will stick around longer thinking, well, I paid $50. Mm. I want to get my money's worth.
Yeah.
I think that the content will keep people there regardless.
Yeah.
And then it just needs to be about, you know, you'll get more money from people subscribing and you'll have more attention on you. More investors would approach you, you know, with a massive big success than, oh yeah, we turned over an extra, you know, 3% or 0.3% this quarter because we charge a load for faction transfers and all of that.
Plus, I'm sure they're the point of diminishing returns for why that needed to be expensed in such a way.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think also the systems are in place now where it doesn't matter as much.
Yeah,
before everything was very, very, very manual, and I think that they've got really good at it now. That they don't have to worry to that same extent.
Yeah, I agree. Here's a call about, let's see, is there anything about this new expansion we don't like?
Hey guys, it's Yosue over on Scarlet Crusade. Just wanted to get your perspective on Warlords just a second. I've been reading a bunch of stuff online and listening to some other podcasts and things like that. And with the beta out, I know you guys are in it. I know there are people who are testing it out too. I wanted to know if you feel that Warlords is going in a great direction and you're really pleased with it so far, or if there's things about it that you are not happy with. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the show. You guys are great. Bye.
I can't honestly think of too much other than there will be things, I'm sure, that we'll get there and go, wow, on paper this sounded better than it is in practice or whatever. I don't know what that will be. I suspect garrisons are going to be rad and a lot of cool stuff in there, but I there's nothing in here I'm super not – excited about.
I think the story side of things, where, you know, the idea is we're basically trapped on Draenor. Yeah. We get sent through the dark portal along with some of the badasses heroes we have, and we hold off the Iron Horde by blowing up the dark portal of their side.
Yeah.
So we're kind of stuck by ourselves, and that's why, you know, we don't see Varian Wrynn waltzing around Draenor going toe to toe with Grommash. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's really cool or if that's going to be a really sort of disjointed thing, in that it doesn't feel like it's woven into everything else. I would love to see more gnome stuff, as I always do. I don't think there's enough gnome related activity, but I guess once we play it, we'll know. Mm. But yeah, I think there's so much, you know, Blizzard has, you know, too much to do. And it's a lovely scenario to be in where they can do so many different things.
Who's the human archmage that's hanging out with us?
Khadgar.
I really like that guy. Khadgar.
He's a badass. Now, what I don't know as well is quite who and where he is in terms of, he seems to be our side of the portal to begin with.
Yeah.
But Khadgar from our time is in Shattrath and was like a super bearded old mage.
Yeah.
Now, Khadgar was in Warcraft 2 or 1, and he was Medivh's apprentice, and he shuts down the Dark Portal, but in doing so gets super aged and stuff like that. He's not actually as old as he looks.
Yeah.
They've made him look a bit younger now with the new models, but I don't know if he's from Draenor, somehow and that already happened, or if he's from R1. And he also has Medivh's staff, Atiesh, I think it is. Which is really cool.
Well, he's, I don't know. We all know this.
Yeah. Okay. So many questions.
Yeah, we're
so many questions.
We already knew all this.
You're just saying things we know. I'm sorry.
No, but actually I had no idea. But the way he you know, he storms the portal with everybody, according to business. He's just a badass.
Exactly. Oh. And, yeah. But the thing is he is a little bit Deus Ex Machina in that it'll basically get to a point where it'd be like, oh my god, how are we gonna stop this? And he's like, basically, don't let any orcs hit me for maybe like 2 minutes. I'll put a counter on the screen while I charge up an awesome spell.
Yeah.
And that seems to be like, hey, you go kill some orcs. You go feel like you're doing something. Yeah. And then once you're finished doing what you think was important, I'm going to launch an arcane blast that will obliterate everything.
Yeah.
And you just like, I feel a little bit like, I don't know, being like Usain Bolt's, you know, kind of warm-up runner or something like that, and he's like, we're doing a 200 meter relay, I do the first, you know, 100 meters and I really go for it, and he's just like, yeah good job, and then he just runs and finishes it, you know, and it's just like, you know, that's easy, don't worry, I'm done. I just, he's super powerful.
He's awesome. I want to say he was in the Arthas book, but maybe I have that wrong. I might be thinking of somebody else, somebody Jaina had to deal with a lot.
Yeah, I think that was just Kel'thas, wasn't it?
Oh, was it? Then
the old mage who led Dalaran. What was his name?
Arcanidus. I might be mixing these two guys or something.
Yeah, the guy from Hearthstone, you remember, who gives you fireballs.
Yeah.
Archmage Arcanidus.
No, but it's just funny is that, you know, everyone's all this talk about, there's all orcs all the time and blah, whatever, horde centric, Blizzard's horde biased, all this stuff. All this talk right now. I'm more excited about three Alliance players or three Alliance characters than I am any of the rest. I'm excited about him, freaking Blue Boy, and the other Draenei girl. I forgot her name.
So Urel.
Urel, is it? Yeah.
And Murad.
They're great.
She's amazing, and she feels very reactive in terms of answering that question of like Blizzard. Is it all boys all the time?
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, it's unfair really when you've got strong female characters like Sylvanas and Jaina and stuff like that.
Sure.
That being said, you know, if you look how much character development Prophet Valen ever had in game, she's already vastly better as a Draenei leader.
Those zone ending cinematics have me so beyond excited. I can't breathe.
Yeah.
Except one.
I was going to say that the thing I'm not excited about is also Alliance based. It's the $100,000 for their mount. I'm not excited for that.
Oh my gosh! Is that 100,000 gold?
Yeah.
K for that
it's
thing?
It's an expensive motorcycle.
It's also just a reminder that you lost so hard. Like,
no, it's an exclusive bike.
I'm going to put this out there. So all the Alliance people who hate on us, I'm on your side. You should get it for free.
I agree. I say
all get it for free. Everyone should get the bike for free.
Everyone gets a trophy.
It has to be.
How about more economic?
You're on the Alliance and you're like, no, I want to pay the 100K.
No, I do. I feel like because I know that so many other people won't. And so I'll just be rolling.
Oh, so you get to be special.
Okay. Exactly. I think that's where it's at. Now it feels like the Horde bike kind of makes sense. You know, one of the dirty orcs will end up with one, you know. Whereas over on the Alliance, you know, me and my nomies, I'll just be chilling out, and we'll be riding around.
Yeah, but so many people won't get to have it, though. It's like I just feel like it sucks.
Exactly,
it sucks.
Super exclusive.
I'm playing Mordor too much because now I want all the orcs to say things like "I'm gonna spill your guts" and talk like that the entire
you
time.
You thought you killed me,
yeah?
But nah, I'm gonna kill you.
You coming back from the dead? Nice trick, here. Human, like this constant, like,
what are you, the Ranger's twin?
Yeah, it's just so many good things.
I love it.
I mean, I like art orcs better than the sort of
I do too.
Don't know what they are.
Well, let me put it this way, I'm glad we have variety.
Imagine them like Mary Poppins chimney sweeps,
sure.
You know, they lose all intimidation, really.
Blimey, Mary Poppins, I'm gonna go chim chimney churu.
You know, it's just like.
Yeah. I'm going to eat your guts for breakfast. They're just the greatest. I love them.
A spoonful of sugar. Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
That'd be really good. All right, we got some emails. I'm going to cut some of these down, but we got one here. Scott Dilson Terpster. This is from, oh crap, I didn't get their name. Recently discovered your podcast on a business trip and I really enjoy it. Wanted to get your take on an expansion idea for WoW. To make up for the Theramore and the recent Horde side themes lately, why not have an expansion where the Alliance retakes all or part of Lordaeron? The Alliance would get a piece of the action and Blizzard would get an opportunity to redesign the starting zone for the undead. And I might add, I'll just add this to his email, we might actually have the undead involved in this story somehow again.
Well, I mean, like I said, in the books and all the other stuff, Sylvanas is all over the place.
Yeah, she is, but none of her buddies are. Like,
it's just... exactly. But I'm saying, and you think about like who started the undead plague? Well, they were the Burning Legion, and it seems like, you know, the end point of this expansion is us in the Burning Legion. So maybe there could be, you know, you could see a splintering between the undead and the Forsaken, and they could go off and have a new sort of elven home somewhere or something cooler. I don't know. To be honest with you, Lordaeron's kind of done. It's wrecked. It's covered in sludge everywhere. There's these big fat abominations everywhere. I don't think the Alliance wants it anymore.
You're describing East Jersey, by the way. I don't know
exactly.
Why,
but... it is, and we can just basically bomb the bridge so that we're safe. You know, take the tunnel out, and then. And
don't do anything to Jersey bridges, just leave them alone.
Yeah, we're not encouraging domestic terrorism. But
just leave the bridges alone.
Sheesh.
But it wouldn't be domestic for me. Yeah. But what I think is, what I think would be cool is, like, I always think we should be building a new Nomagon. You know, I think there should be a GG.
I'm cool with that.
Spelled new with a G, new Nomagon, and we'd say GG guys.
Yeah,
GG. I think
you guys had another GG. Let's do this.
I think we should have a big kind of floating city that we build, like a big like Atlantean type city, where new Nomagon, and we can go and venture forth and find, like, you know, the Naga and go and you know, see the Maelstrom. And I think like the trolls should have like a big raised sunken temple. I think they should raise something up from under the oceans, and to have those as two new kind of faction bases in a new game would be amazing.
I
think that Forsaken, I really like Lordaeron. I think it's a really cool place.
Yeah.
And I think if we retook it, it would just be like Purple Stormwind or something like that. It just wouldn't be. Wouldn't be the same.
Plus you're just shifting stuff around. You're not really, I need more to my story than just, hey, we got the place back. Sweet. See everybody. I mean, you know, I don't know. That doesn't interest me as much as something to, you know, like this.
Did you think we had forgotten?
Well, Blizzard, I'm starting to think you have forgotten the undead. Come on now. Get on that. And they're basically human, so it's kind of Alliance, so relax, everybody.
Well, not all of them. A lot of them are elves, actually.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Here's one. It says, starts with hi, chaps. Okay, so you'll relate, Terpster, to this.
So this is just for Terpster.
This is just for Terpster. Because
you know, I will zone out now.
Yeah, stereotypically, you and I have no connection to this at all.
I have no chap, sir.
No.
It's Lost Girl, level 90 Fire Mage in the European realms.
Yeah, in the EU. So that makes sense.
Even more so.
Yeah, plus Fire Mage. Who does that anymore? Just kidding. I've now watched all the Lords of War animations and was really disappointed to see that the female characters are incidental at best and sometimes non-existent. Like Missa Pandaren, Azeroth Choppers, and Diablo, etc.
So, Azeroth Choppers, is that something that people criticized for?
Part of the lore, dude. That's really? Canon.
It's canon, yeah. That's a really important. There's a book and stuff coming out to chronicle.
Yeah, what happened to
Should one of the choppers
be
given
Steve
like some kind of feminine hips and like sexy boobs?
Well, here's the title of the book
choppers?
Coming out.
Previously on Azeroth Choppers.
It'll be called Previously : on Azeroth Choppers, and that'll be a great new book and comic series. Yeah.
Prostates. I think we should make it just about men, and we should call it Prostates.
Prostate Choppers.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
I don't know.
I don't know. I can see, like, I guess all of the crew making it were men.
Mm-hmm.
That could be it. And I guess they didn't have any Lady Blizzard people.
Well,
they could have had some women building that bike for sure. And they could have had some women who worked for Blizzard as part of Team Horde or Team Alliance.
Yeah. Exactly. I can see that. I can see that now.
Sure. But I guess, here's the thing. That one seems weird and nitpicky to me in the same way that, say, oh, I don't know. I'm like, I am with her on the Lords of War stuff. There's just really no females.
Yeah,
no, there's
but like in Mists of Pandaria, yeah. You had the Queen.
There's Durotan's mom.
But she was
really? Kind of victim-y and dying.
Durotan's mom who did nothing except lay there while Durotan killed the
blood rage, the bloodlusted. Yeah.
That's I think in Mists, I'm just trying to think of like strong female characters. Well, yeah,
Lili is quite good, strong, plucky.
But
character.
It is, I guess, it is trickier to find. I guess the not Shenlong, that's the one from Dragon Ball, but the green the green dragon, the emerald dragon person dude.
Yeah.
I always interpreted as a lady, and they were quite one of the celestials.
The strongest characters in WoW have been dragons. The strongest female characters have been dragons.
Dragons and but Jaina and
not really moving towards any dragon stuff.
We're kidding ourselves if we don't think that the Blizzard mythos or the WoW mythos and even some of their extended game stuff, extremely dude centric. Some great female characters, but a very dude centric story.
Yeah, but there could be more. Absolutely.
I mean, even I think it's
very traditional though, in that like Tolkien. Had a very male-centric cast.
Sure.
Because of the time in which he was writing, and he came back from the trenches, surrounded by men, and then was inspired to create
buying a Honda. As soon as you buy a Honda Accord, you start to notice that every other car you see on the road is an Accord. And this is kind of what's happening.
Even then,
right
though,
now.
I think like Peter Jackson obviously put in a female ranger and a whole love interest thing in The Hobbit that wasn't in the book. But I kind of think that had Tolkien been around today, there would be more female characters. And I think it's nice to see that Blizzard is introducing more female characters.
Well, they had specifically come out and said that they wanted to be more proactive on this front, right?
Yeah. Mm. And that's good. That's a good move.
Yeah, but I think it's time to start cashing in on that. It's time to actually.
I agree.
So far, we're not really seeing it yet.
I totally agree. It's just so easy to swing so hard the other direction that you start noticing that Azeroth Choppers has no ladies in it. I don't know, man.
So the Azeroth Choppers thing, I don't think we need to concern ourselves too much with that because that's just whatever. That's just a little series they made. Okay, it's about motorcycles, whatever.
There aren't a lot of dudes. But listen, on Project Runway, there aren't a lot of dudes in that either, unless they're gay. So it goes both ways for things that interest different demographics. I just think Choppers is one of those where, for good or for ill, dudes are into bikes. Are there a few ladies who are really into them? Yes, but not the core audience.
There are plenty of ladies who are into them, but but I think in the game. That's where we should really let's not worry so much about Azeroth Choppers, but let's do worry about the game.
Sure,
and let's
sure.
make a change here.
Totally agree.
I would love to see.
But like I said, I think when you see Urel in as the Draenei faction leader, and you see her journey, and she's up there with Durotan, she's up there with Valen, and she's against Gul'dan, and he's like she is super. Super relevant and super core and key to what's going on.
Would you see what she did to Blackhand? I don't want to spoil anything, but good lord.
But exactly. And she had like a sassy sort of line as she left and stuff like that, that normally would have been something that Thrall would have had. So I think all of it's really cool. And I think it is good to see them progressing. Yeah. I don't think that Blizzard kind of has to atone for any sins. Mm. And I think if the reason they put female characters in there is to hush people's complaints, that's the wrong reason. And I don't think that they are doing that at the moment. It seems they're managing to have really strong, believable.
Because it's right. Because it's correct.
And But I mean, I'm looking back and like Garona, she was this half-orc, half-Draenei female assassin who was critical in Warcraft 2 and like in the comics and stuff was expanded and explored. And she's fantastic. And you play alongside her in Cataclysm. Jaina has always been massively, massively powerful and strong in World of Warcraft. Sylvanas, I think that the Blizzard has come under fire for kind of sexualizing these women in their attire and their armor. And that's just because it's high fantasy. And it's not to say that that's necessarily, okay, but it is like it's saying that that's just the way.
Yeah, but honestly, that argument though, like all people are kind of sexualized in games. Like the men are buff.
horribly ripped and stuff like that. Even the orcs, you know, when the cows and the taurens have muscles, you know, you start thinking like, wow, that is a beefy beef. But I think, like I said, with Blizzard, I think they are doing really well. But at the same time, I think that
where's Agra these days? What's she doing?
She's pumped out a couple of babies, but is on the other side of Dark Portal.
Go, L, and please clean out the freaking wind, the rain things. I've told you all week, damn it.
Stop casting. But I think
this is the interesting thing, is that you have these with the Dark Portal being closed between the two worlds. In theory, you know, you don't see these people. They can't get to you. You're on your own. You're the guy who needs to make the garrison. You need to build the forces. You need to attract these forces. And, you know, at the end, maybe once we get communications back up, you know, you'll be called general. But it's all on us, and we're the heroes. And then when you start thinking how many female characters are there, well, about half, really. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, of which, you know, maybe a third are female players. But, you know, there's a load of strong female characters in Warcraft.
I agree. I think that they're making the right moves, and this is the right time to do it. And like what Dil said kind of sums it up for me. I feel like that's all the right stuff. It's just easy to then start seeing it everywhere, and you just have to be a little careful with it, because then genuine progress is kind of hindered, because everyone's so skeptical of every move you make. You can't make an honest move in any one direction without being called out either for not doing it or being called out because now you're doing it, and why are you doing it now? And, you know, we got to, that part is giving me a little
gasp. At the same time, though, take everything we said with a pinch of salt. We're three white
dudes,
straight dudes.
Yeah, but we're all buff. We're like orcs. Yeah. We look like orcs.
We look like orcs. Exactly.
Fit the model of what,
for example, we're more like freaking Pandarans is what we're like.
Yeah, we're Pandarans, definitely. Yeah. But at the same time, though, we haven't really faced, well, at least I'm saying this very, very royally, but we haven't faced necessarily the same sort of repression and hardships that other people have. But I think the Blizzard still managed to create a fantastic multicultural, sexual story with so many varied characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I want to put that out there. I don't pretend to know what it's like for anybody else like that, and I never will. So I listen and I take it in. And
hey, what's it like being a Pirates fan?
Joke. It's, you know, it's whatever. But I don't pretend like I know what it's like to be a woman at all.
What's it like to be a Pirate fan or a freaking Dodgers fan? What do you think
about
that?
I don't pretend to know.
You don't know what is wrong with those people.
I do not know. I'm sure the impression is awful.
All right. I just wanted to sneak one in. One final email. This comes from Nathan. He says, is there any chance that Blizzard will implement hiding shoulder armor? I think shoulder armor on cloth wearers looks terrible on many of the outfits, says Nathan. Moreover, I would just, I've become such a giant fan of dying armor in Diablo that I never have to worry about looking like a clown. I can just go in there anytime, spend a little cash.
By the way, thanks for this, Scott, because now I'm basically hooked on changing the weird look of my guy.
I know, right? Now, that can be expensive. If you do it every time, it can add up, you know?
Really?
Well, if you're buying the expensive dye.
But I'm bright blue at this point.
Oh, good. As you should be. That was really fun the other day, by the way. We should do that again. Anyway, I think that's what I would prefer, but I know they don't, and I understand the reasons why Blizzard doesn't do this in WoW. I think that Blizzard probably thinks that hardly anyone wants to hide their shoulders. It's one of the great marquee items of the game. It's the one you show off the most. I remember feeling like with like a new character, it's like, finally I got a pair of shoulders, because that's what makes you tougher for some reason.
It used to be around about level 20, and up until then you felt like a massive noob.
Yeah, like wimpy shoulder.
And even then,
guy.
They were little babby little shoulders, little triangles on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were terrible. Like, yeah. But, exactly. But they should be, because they're crap, you know, and you should want to get better ones.
Yeah.
So they should look crap.
What you need is the fire set from Diablo and just color that stuff white, and then you're going to look like the greatest badass in the history of the
world. But, you know, it wouldn't be that bad of an idea just to allow us to just do whatever the hell we want with our character. Mm-hmm. Like, I can hide any piece of armor I want. Mm-hmm. Because you can hide the helm, you can hide the cape. Why not just let me hide all the stuff? So, you know, I'll just hide my pants all the time.
Right. Hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your pants, hide your cape. Yeah. Why not?
Hide your pants,
just be naked, but fully statted up. I like it. Yeah. That's pretty good. Well, there you go, everybody. That's our emails and that's our show. This is great. I am so happy to have all three of us in the same room. It's always fun. We got
for at least some of the show.
Yeah, for at least a chunk of it. And we've got,
it's not going to be long till we're all actually in the same room.
I know.
At BlizzCon. I cannot wait.
Well, I'm not hanging out with you guys. I've made a decision.
What?
Yeah. I'm gonna go. No, Terpster, I'll hang out with you. But.
I think we'll be okay, Dills. We won't have a choice in it. Scott's gonna be hanging out with Chris Metzen. I'm not sure if you've heard, but they're best friends.
Scott's gonna big time. Yeah. All he's gonna do is just chill with the higher.
I'm really sorry, guys, but Chris wants to hang out. Yeah. We're gonna go smoke on the roof. I don't even smoke, but you don't say no to the Mets, okay?
Yeah, he wants to smoke. Off. Yeah, first time I'll ever smoke a cigarette is when Metzen says, come on, guys.
We found out last week that Scott would eat a brownie, and now we're finding out this week that Scott will smoke
a cigarette. Oh, I'll totally eat a pot brownie. I'm ready. Man,
Scott, you were like having your teenage years much later in life.
Yeah.
No, I mean, look, remember the rule with the pot brownie, just for those who maybe missed last week's episode.
It's got to be legal.
It's got to be legal in the state where I eat it. And then sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll eat it.
Will you have a coffee with me?
Yes, I'll do that with you. I'll have a brownie. Let's see what else is legal in some states. It's funny because if you start applying that logic, hey, I'll go to Vegas.
BlizzCon is going to be held in.
Hang on, I want to know what Scott's going to do in Vegas. This sounds amazing.
Well, where is it legal? Where is prostitution legal? I guess it's not in this country.
Not in Vegas, but in Nevada, outside of Vegas, about 100 miles. Yeah,
I guess I'm not going that far. But
well, exactly. I'm sure Kim appreciates.
But if I happen to be 100 miles outside of Vegas,
jurisdiction only extends to Oh, I'm sorry, ladies of Nevada.
Yeah.
I can't go that far.
Don't they have some kind of like donkey ranch or what's it called? It's like a something.
The cattle ranch.
Cattle ranch? What is it?
I don't know.
Bunny ranch.
Bunny ranch.
Bunny
that's
ranch.
It.
That
that's
would
it.
Make more sense. I'm actually into doing
the
it.
The cattle ranch is a complete.
So that's where I go. Yeah. I go to the cattle ranch.
A lot of beef.
Each to their own, I say.
Yeah, sure. Torn cosplay everywhere you look.
Exactly. Yeah, why dress up?
Why indeed. Great show, everybody. Thank you for all being here. Dills, you got any stuff to pimp out? You're probably talking a lot about this 100 new cards expansion crap on TAC over there.
Some cool stuff coming in Hearthstone at some point soon. But what I'll pimp right now is that tomorrow, Saturday, there is a benefit thing, game drive for the AIE Guild Hall that will be at BlizzCon. And we're doing a Hearthstone tournament. I think it might be full, but I'm not sure.
I think you guys are full.
Okay, well,
but people can still see it.
Through you. So everybody else who didn't sign up, you suck.
Yeah.
But we'll be playing. It'll be fun. And we're going to raise money for the AIE Guild Hall. Yeah. And if anybody doesn't have BlizzCon tickets and wants to come to BlizzCon, you should just come if you're an AIE for the Guild Hall.
Yeah,
the Guild Hall
it's great. It's awesome. And then we need it, but it doesn't pay for a freaking self. And so,
oh, no. It's not gifted to us by the Marriott. It's,
No.
Where is it?
The Hilton. Usually the Hilton. But the thing is, this thing is a thing you can give to that also helps kind of throughout the year for different AIE functions and things. But this is definitely one of the big ones. I'm there tomorrow playing some Diablo 3, so I'll be a part of that as well. It's a cool thing to support. Go to aie-guild.org and find out how you can help out if you are a member of said guild. Awesome. Of course, Willie Dills on Twitter. Terpster, what are you doing, man? Anything cool going on? Anything you want to mention?
No, not really. No.
When's a baby due? What do we got here? Month? 2 months?
New Year's Eve. We've got ages.
Oh, good Lord.
Ages. Yeah, don't worry. All right. I've started doing hypnobirthing, which sounds really weird and like hippie, and it kind of is, but I really like it. Mm. I think,
what do you do?
It's all about kind of just being calm and just relaxed. And, basically it's this sort of, belief that your body's kind of, well, the lady's body at least is kind of designed to do childbirth and it shouldn't necessarily be all scary and frightful and, painful. And that if you kind of,
well, you try to push something out of your orifices.
Well, I think exactly. I think, well, the thing is that I think that if you, again, have more of a sort of open mind about it, Dills, if we had the same equipment and, we're kind of thinking positively and breathing correctly, then maybe we too could have the joyous.
Well, it's how we poo,
experience.
It's how we poo,
Well, exactly. And you think about that.
I'm actually doing a new thing called hypno-pooing.
Hypno-pooing is fantastic.
Hypno-poop.
I'm so glad I shared this with you guys because
really
I didn't know
moment.
What I expected, but that was...
But that was hypno poop. Actually, that's an awesome thing. We did something similar. Kim went natural like a crazy person, two of them in a row, and we did a similar thing. Although it wasn't called hypno birth, it was, I don't know, it was just more like just meditative. Yeah, it's the same thing, and it's
try
good.
Exactly. Try to be calm. Be try yeah. to relax.
It is a good thing because it is an amazing thing. It's a freaking miracle, and it's an awesome experience. And I'm stoked for
if
you guys.
If you've seen You're the state of my person. Penis as well, pretty Scott, true, right. it is a true miracle.
I know, yeah. right? Because that thing's like a tuna can, just a flat.
It looks. I don't know exactly. It's like it does like a loop the loop. I'm thinking like that can be right. So yeah. Should be fun.
Go to boxers. But yeah, not for a little while. The briefs are cutting off the blood. All right. Well, I am very much looking forward to seeing you both at BlizzCon and many, many of you out there. Please do not be shy when you see us. Come up, say hi, take pictures, hang out. I'm talk a lot more before then. But really, it's like a month and a few days. So very excited. And that's coming up. So watch for that. Yeah. Hopefully, I won't be with Metzen the entire time when you people see me there. And I'm just kidding. I'm probably not going to see Metzen hardly at all. Don't worry.
Oh, whatever.
Don't worry.
I can't wait. Hey, Scott, I just landed. Do you want to meet up? Oh, I would, but it's just Chris and I we're going bowling. I'm like, what?
It's man.
Like, yeah, you know.
We're going to Disneyland. No, you know what we're going to do?
And I have to hold hands and skip through the park, so I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to make it.
My goal is to see if we can't get him to Greg Street this year and come to the live show.
And show up on the live show.
Yeah. I'm sure we could. I would much rather have Cat on. I think that would be lovely. We should have Mrs. Metzen.
Yeah, why not?
Sure. And I'd like to hear, what she's up to these days.
Yeah, what does she think of his 20-year helmet? What? Anyway, excuse moving on. What? I don't know what that meant. I didn't mean
that
anything by
disgusting,
it. As
Scott.
I said it, it came out wrong.
Unsubscribe. That's you just lost yourself a listener, sir.
That came out wrong.
And Herbster's never going to listen to the show again.
I'm never going to listen again.
All right. Well,
and my loop the loop penis.
In order to follow him, then just check him out at the_T on Twitter. That's going to do it for us. TheInstance.net is our website, carefully maintained by Paul Swickard. Big thanks to him. At Instance Show for the show on Twitter, at Scott Johnson, at Willie Dales, at the_T. Our theme was created by Matthew Oxley, and you can find more great shows like this at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Dales, and for Terpster. We'll see you next time.
Hypno. Bye.
You were my hero. You were my friend. You were the people I'd go and raid with. Yeah. But one fateful night, into the fight, and I bet you didn't think that I would ever find out. No. Don't try to deny that you did. I saw the ad. I saw it in trade. Now there is no way to fix it now. It's over now. It's time for me to find some other guilty. I made your elixirs, but that's how it's farming all alone. I helped out in dungeons and RPGs, challenge modes. But now you're screwed. You shouldn't have been rude and left me behind. You all wiped again. Cause your new friend can't heal the fight. Go find a healer. Go find a healer. Go find a healer. Go find a healer. Yeah, yeah.
Now you made a choice that had some consequence. My spot, and then acted like it didn't happen.
Don't act like it wasn't planned.
All of the waves that we went through, they didn't mean a thing.
Didn't mean nothing.
You should have picked loyalty, but now it's time to jeep it on.
Don't try to deny.
Don't try
that you did. I saw the ad
on the song.
I saw it in trade. Now there is
no way
to fix it now. It's over now.
Stop me to find some other gilding.
I made your elixirs with bats I was farming all alone,
all alone.
I helped out in dungeons and RBGs, challenge mode.
RBGs and challenge mode.
But now you're screwed, you shouldn't have been rude and left me behind.
I got the sweet hills, baby.
You all wiped again. Cause your new friend can't heal a fight. Go find a healer. Go find a healer. Go find a healer. Go find a healer.
Yeah. Oh! Progression is done just because I'm leaving. Oh! Progression is done just because I'm leaving. Progression is done just because I'm a leaving. No! Progression is done just because I'm a leaving.
Don't try to deny that you did. I saw the ad.
I already saw.
I saw it in trade. Now there is no way,
no way
to fix it now. It's over now.
It's time for me to find some
other healers. Go find a healer. Go find a healer.
Go on and try.
Go find a healer.
You're gonna die.
Go find a healer.
You're better off.
Go find a healer.
Yeah, you're better off.
Go find a healer. Go find a healer.
Go find a healer. Go find a healer. Oh, go find a healer. Oh. Go find a healer. Oh, go find a healer.
Healer, healer.
Go find a healer.
Healer, healer.
Oh, go find a healer.
Healer, healer.
Oh, go find a healer.
Healer, healer.
Oh, go find a healer.
Healer, healer.
Go find a healer.
Healer, healer.
Go find a healer. Hello, my name is Kavo, and thank you for listening to my WoW parody, Go Find a Healer, with lyrics written by Rowan of Moonguard. If you liked this WoW parody and you are interested in any other songs that I have recorded, you can visit me at my YouTube channel, Kavo350. You can also follow me on Twitter and Twitch at the same name, Kavo350. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope you have a great day. Bye now.
Revan Geek and Noggin Fogger Elixir present Real Azrothian Heroes.
Real Azrothian Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Heroes Refugee.
Mr. Heroes Refugee.
Leave it to Blizzard to make a game so good that even in its alpha stage, it can suck up all of a gamer's time.
Long getting straggly.
But this week, Heroes of the Storm entered a week-long downtime to allow it to be moved to the main servers for the next stage of alpha.
It's just a week.
And now those few who have battled in the Nexus are back in Azeroth, seeing things at ground level, and wondering why Arthas isn't fighting on their side in the battleground.
He's not so bad once you get to know him.
So crack open an ice-cold Noggin Fogger Elixir, you alpha-playing, game-straying battler of the lucky others. It's only a week. We'll get through this together. We will. Believe me.
Mr. Heroes Refugee.
Follow me on Twitter at RevanGeek, hear old episodes at RevanGeek.blogspot.com, and subscribe to Revan Geek's Parody Palace and I Remembered It Better on iTunes.
Corporate accounts payable, Buxley speaking, just a moment. Welcome to Buxley's Journal. So if you've been following along with past episodes, you know I've been on a quest to get my legendary cloak. Well, after collecting all the runestones, sigils, buttons, small rocks, and 25 screaming monkeys, I finally got enough to turn everything in. So I get there, I turn it all in, and ta-da! Legendary clock! A clock. I went back through my notes and realized I must have handed stuff into the wrong person. So I go back, I get the runestone sigils and all that again, and I finally get my cloak. I put this thing on, it's pretty nice, so I make up my way up to the Timeless Isle, go up the ramp, go past all these Tarn wannabe guys, and make my way to the edge of the Broken Bridge. Whoosh! I get floated across the bridge. I drink my invisibility potion, which gave me incredibly bad breath and kind of defeats the purpose of being invisible. But anyway, the next thing I know, I hear,
"My pain is endless."
So I sneak up, and then I hear,
"I burn for all time."
It's this giant Tyran wannabe guy completely covered in flame. It's Ordos. I look around, and I'm the only one there. And he spots me.
"You will take my place on the Eternal Brazier."
Whoa, I'm just here for a look. I did not sign up for that.
"Your flesh will melt."
Nope. I didn't sign up for that either.
"Wait, what?"
I didn't sign up for Eternal Braziers, melting flesh, none of that. I'm just here with my new cloak, looking around.
"No fighting?"
"Not today. I'm too tired."
"But people always want to fight."
"Not today. I'm going to ruin this cloak. I just got this thing."
"Well, in that case..."
"What?"
"I need a glass of water."
So I rustle up a glass of water, and it turns out he's not that bad of a guy after all. Sure, he's doomed to be lit on fire for all time, but he still has a pretty good sense of humor. Much better than I would have thought. Oh, and he told me this joke. Two Tyrans and a gnome walk into a bar and... "What? Time's up." Well, I guess that'll have to be for another time. If you'd like to see what I'm up to, follow Ask Buxley on Twitter.
Welcome. This is Dedrin with another edition of Ask Amagus. This week's question is, if the Blood Elves are addicted to arcane magic from the Sunwell, why aren't all mages, regardless of race, also addicted to arcane magic? To answer the question, of course we're addicted to magic. Do you know how many awesome things we can do? You would be too if you could blow up anything in sight. Float like a feather while mocking a warrior who repeatedly dies to the elevator boss. And sheep everything in sight. Heck, do you know why water elementals are so disgruntled? That's because we occasionally try to surf it. No nature-loving shaman or tree-hugging druid can do that. You're asking why we mages even exist. Because we can. Send your questions to AskAmagus on Twitter.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Mulgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, should I faction change my Draenei shaman? That is a very tricky question. After all, you will not just be temporarily transforming into a ghost wolf. Consider wisely just what it is you will be changing into. If you are a little rotund and like beer, then a Pandaren might suit you. A Tauren would be appropriate if you are a tree hugger. Naturally, everyone wants to be an orc like myself and the great former warchief known as Thrall. So no, we will not be having any of that. Turning into a goblin? Well, that would just be silly. Now, if you are a bit more fashion-minded, the trolls have got some crazy haircuts you might like. But do not worry if you do not already own a complete line of hair care and makeup products. Fortunately, you cannot accidentally turn into a blood elf. I am Miss Mulgrave, and that is my advice. Akamagosh!
Follow at Miss Mulgra on Twitter or listen to previous episodes at missmulgra.com. Thanks to at Nightvale for this week's question.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.